Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Let me read to you also the previous chapter. Chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. And so Isaiah continues in verse 1 of chapter 53, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I think what Isaiah is saying there is that which he is prophesying, many people will not believe. It may be too hard for them to believe that God would send a Messiah who, far from being a victorious general, would be a victim of execution. Or maybe people don't believe it because they don't believe they've sinned. If you don't believe you are a sinner, you won't understand Isaiah 53, because Isaiah 53 makes it clear that one will come to bear sin. Some don't believe our report because they're simply not interested in the things of God. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This man, though he is as a tender plant, though he is as a sheep waiting to be sheared, though he is as a lamb likened to be slaughtered, contains the very presence, the very strength, the very awe of God within him. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This man, unlike Adam the first, starts as a baby in the manger, as gentle and delicate as any human being that ever there was. Like a root out of dry ground, out of a barren place, a barren time and a barren people, life and something wonderful develops. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. In the images of Jesus, he's always portrayed as a tall, handsome man, but Isaiah, I think, is clear. He was just an ordinary man in terms of appearance. He was not particularly beautiful. Certainly the beauty of God was not visible in him to the naked eye, but rather to the eye of faith. He didn't wear the badges of royalty and grandeur. He wore the clothes of a simple Jewish carpenter. He is despised and rejected by men. John says his own received him not. He came first to the Jewish people and they rejected him. And not many Gentiles accepted him either. Many, of course, will hear him. Many have heard of him, but choose to ignore him. During his life and after his life, men and women continue to look down on him, to sneer on him, to ignore him, to marginalize him. Isaiah says he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A poor Jewish man, used to hard work, used to rejection, used to suffering. The Good Friday experience was merely a culmination of all the suffering he had endured during his life. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Isaiah uses the word we, speaking, I believe, on behalf of the Jewish nation. Jesus was something of an embarrassment, someone to be sidelined, someone to be ignored, someone to despise, someone not to hold in high regard or honour. Isaiah says in verse 4 of chapter 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." There is a sense in which when we're feeling down or miserable, we can cast our burdens upon him. But Isaiah here is speaking of a greater sorrow and a greater grief than merely feeling down or having a bad day. He's speaking of more than emotion. Our real sorrow, the sorrow at the heart of every human being, is the knowledge that we have transgressed God's moral law. Wherein is the presence of death, which is the consequence of sin. And it affects all areas of our lives. He has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. There were many in the crowd that day that thought he was a blasphemer who deserved to die. He deserves to hang on that cross, they must have thought. All those bold claims. He claims this, he claims that, he claims the other. Good riddance to him. They esteemed him stricken, punished by God, and afflicted. But in verse 5, Isaiah makes it clear why this person is to die. Now remember, Isaiah is writing hundreds of years before Jesus came. The Spirit revealed to him in prophecy that Messiah is coming. And when Messiah comes, he will go through a terrible time. And the reason is given in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Normally, we would say that was unjust. The person who breaks a law must be the person who receives the punishment. Isaiah says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, none of his own. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his own. Isaiah makes it absolutely clear that one is coming and did come who was to be punished for things he did not do. And when we take communion together, as we have done this morning, we are reminded of that fact. That God voluntarily became a man, that he may take the blame and the punishment for the sins which we have committed. He uses quite clearly the language of substitution. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Isaiah continues this theme of substitution. "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What's a stripe? It could literally be the striping of the flesh when the flesh is flogged. A wound, an injury. Somehow, the Messiah is to be chastised and we receive peace. He is to be wounded and injured that we might be healed. He became a curse for us that we might be blessed by God. In verse 6 it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. In the Guardian newspaper in January, it was reported that a farmer in Tasmania in Australia had lost, he always lost sheep, he had a large farm, and one sheep had wandered off for 6 years and then came back. And it had him in sheared for so long, he said there was so much wool on it, about 40 kilograms worth. Well, he reckoned the wool wasn't worth very much because that sheep had gone astray. It had thought that somewhere else was better. The grass was greener on the other side. It could look after itself, and perhaps that on that situation that sheep did. But Isaiah here is likening here every human being to being like sheep which have wandered off. We have turned, he says, each one to his own way. And of course, the first sheep to wander were Adam and Eve in the garden, where God has set them a wonderful place to live and eat and enjoy fellowship with him. But they wondered. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've decided how we are going to live our lives. We've decided we're going to do it our way. Putting a paper crown on our heads and rejecting the kingship of God. And therein is the consequence if ever we are to be reconciled to God. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If I break a law, a penalty must be exacted. Christ himself bore that penalty, knowing that I could not bear it. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. When Jesus was tried, he often just stood there and heard the accusations. He could have rebutted them. He could have argued he was innocent. But he knew it was the eternal plan that he would die for sin. Why else did he not open his mouth? Well, at any point, he could have summoned 12 legions of angels to rescue him, as it says in the 26th of Matthew. But he opened not his mouth. He could have put up a defence to the governor, but he opened not his mouth. As the creator of everything, he could have pronounced a judgment on those that beat him and blasphemed him. But he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. Here, this time, Isaiah uses the simile of a lamb and a sheep, of Christ rather than of the people Christ died for. Lambs were sacrificed in the temple in the 12th of Exodus, verse 5. It reads, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. All those lambs sacrificed in ancient Israel, pointing to the Lamb of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is the one who in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the one who can look at the crippled man and says, get up and walk. This is the one who spoke so many words of comfort, words of power, words of authority. When this man speaks, amazing things happen. but instead he assumes the role of a submissive servant. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? Some commentators say how Jesus did not have an earthly family. He may have been looked down on for that reason. He was cut off from the land of the living. Isaiah is making it perfectly clear. This Messiah had to die. This Messiah was going to die. It was God's plan from the very beginning. It wasn't just misfortune. It was God's eternal plan. In the 9th of Daniel, Daniel writes, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Cut off from his people, cut off from his family, cut off from life itself. Cut off from the land of the living, says Isaiah. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Isaiah is making it absolutely clear that there is a substitution taking place here. This man is dying, but not for himself. He is dying for others. For whom did Jesus die? Jesus died for all those who believe in him. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, died in your place, and you're trusting in his blood for eternal life, he died for you he was stricken. They made him a grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. You know, he was given a tomb not his own by Joseph. Joseph himself was a good man, but he belonged to a Sanhedrin which was not. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. In other words, this victim, this sacrificial lamb, is the very opposite of his killers. They are violent. Deceit is found in their mouths. They're accusing him, railing against him before the governor, blaspheming him before Herod, whipping up the crowd to condemn him. Violence is in their mouth. Deceit is in their mouth. But their victim remains silent throughout, knowing full well that the cross of Calvary is the only means by which sinful men and women can ever be reconciled to a holy God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this Good Friday, we acknowledge and we thank you that Jesus Christ was crucified not for himself, but for us. Sin had to be dealt with. Sin had to be punished. Sin had to be atoned for. And yet you love the sinful world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Amen.